Next week, we're going to talk next week about how to deal with disappointment. And that's going to be our title of our message next week, because we all deal with disappointment. And how you deal with disappointment. You know, that was said one time that difficulty is what makes people. That is untrue. It's how you deal with difficult times that makes you what causes you to overcome, right? So just because we've seen difficult times and difficult situations destroy people, right? So we want to understand from God's word how to deal with difficult times and difficult situation. And then the week after that, I have a guest speaker. We'll make that known maybe next week. And so we're moving right along. And then we're going to really begin our series, a new series on faith. That's the untitled yet, as of yet, untitled series on faith. So that's coming up. So for the month of June. Amen? All right. So more like Jesus. More like Jesus. And I'm just going to go right into our message. We've been talking a lot about becoming more like Jesus. And we talked about the fact that Jesus should be our number one study. If we're supposed to be like Him, right? If we're supposed to be like Him, then we need to make Him our study. And what we've talked about over the last few weeks is the fact of Jesus being the overcomer, right? He's the undaunted Jesus. We talked about that. We talked about all kinds of stuff that I'm not really going to do my usual review, because I really want to get right into the message this morning and end up where we need to end up. So we're going to start off this morning in a very interesting scripture. In fact, John chapter 9, the radical Jesus. Hold on. You came the right Sunday morning. You're going to see something done this morning that you've never seen done in church before in your life. So, and it's my wife's fault. Okay, just teasing. It's not my wife's fault. It's my fault, because I'm who I am. Oh my gosh. You just read the scripture. Okay, John chapter 9. It says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? Verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, and while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with his saliva and put it in the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. The word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. Don't you love the doubters? It's awesome. But he himself insisted, I am the man. He said, how were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. And I washed and I could see. Where is this man? And he said, I don't know. I don't know. So that's a great story, right? I mean, like, think about this story where Jesus heals this guy. I mean, think about it. So he's blind. Jesus does his thing and he's still blind, right? So then he goes and washes. And then he's like, I don't even know who this guy looks like. Right? The guy who healed me. I don't even know what he looks like because I was blind. I was still blind. But the fact that Jesus, oh yeah, he spit in the dirt. And that wasn't quite enough, because you got to make mud. This is what Jesus did. And he took his fingers in his spittle, in the holy spittle, and made mud with it. Oh my gosh. I should have drank some more water. And made mud. And I need a volunteer. No, Steve. I'm just kidding. Steve's like, I wear glasses. This is my moment.
Support my pastor.
he put mud in dude's eye. In his eyes. What? Are you kidding me? Like, Jesus, like, what can, like, there are other times where Jesus, this is why the baby wipes, okay. There are other times where Jesus just laid hands on somebody. I told you you're going to see something you've never seen anybody do. But you know what? Every time you hear that story from now on, you're going to have this curly-headed guy spitting. But the crazy thing is, like, he spit on the ground, like, on the ground where, like, people walk and, I mean, like Jesus, like, what are you, like, sometimes you just go, I don't really know this guy. Like, you know, if you're one of the disciples, like, I don't even know what he, like, you never know. Like, maybe some of those disciples just, like, kept walking. You never know what's going to happen with this guy. You never know. And so he spit on the ground, made mud with his fingers, and put it on the guy's eyes. And he didn't really even heal him at that moment. He goes, go wash. Like, Jesus was radical. That, my friend, is radical. The things that Jesus would say, can you imagine, like, just him just chewing out the religious people at times? Can you imagine being one of the disciples going, you ever been in a service where the pastor says something hard and you just go, wow, whew, goodness. Like, that was normal for Jesus. Like, those disciples heard it all the time, and Jesus was radical. Walking on water, raising the dead. So many things that he just did that was shocking, like spitting. But then, some of the things he said is really what we're going to talk about this morning. Some of the radical things, and I'm only going to hit the high points, because there's a lot of really uncomfortable things that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, we'll go here. And this is going to be a lot of, like, many messages in one message. Becoming like Jesus. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 says this. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first, be your slave. Just as the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. See, what we're going to find as we deal with a lot of these scriptures is Jesus rejected a lot of the world system and the way the world thinks about things and the way world processes things and the world thinks that things should be done, right? He talks about the rulers of the Gentiles. They lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And then we would go, well, of course they do. They're the leaders, right? You're supposed to hold them in high esteem. But as the leader, Jesus says, you're a servant. You serve. In the way we conduct business, and the way we treat other people, and the way we do leadership. The way we do leadership is a big one. How we choose to lead. We've all been in those places, right? We've all had those bosses, right? Or those people that are in leadership, and those people that were in corporate and in churches and all kind of areas where people were in leadership. But Jesus said, serve. How do you want to be a leader? Serve. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, Jesus said it like this. He said, whomever exalts himself will be humbled, And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. It's the kingdom upside down, right? It's the life as we know it upside down. But see, this goes so contrary to the way we think we should do business. The way we think, you business owners, this is how we're supposed to lead. As a pastor, this is how we're supposed to lead. As ministry leaders, as department leaders, in the system of our culture, this is how we're supposed to lead. Now, that doesn't mean that you point your bony finger at your Christian boss and go, see, you know, let me tell you something, right? This is not one of those, you know, take the shovel of this sermon and pass it to the person that needs it the most. This is for us, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. The greatest among you, Jesus said, will be your servants and how you serve other people. Like your giftings, they're not for you. They're for others. If God's given, helped me to be able to teach and give the word, it's not so that I can look great, it's so that I can give the word of God to other people to help us all grow to the maturity. The Bible talks about the gifts. You know, all the five ministry gifts, right? They're for the equipping of the saints. They're not for you. They're for others. For the work of the ministry. They're for other people. Serving. You put other people above you. And you serve them. And Jesus said, you watch it. Because that kind of follower of mine, they'll be exalted. They'll be made known by God by serving. It's a kingdom upside down. Because if I want to gain my authority, I'm going to exercise my authority. My authority. Right? I'm going to exercise it. And all the people below me must submit and demand loyalty. Man, this is America, man. I'll quit on you. How about that? But the Bible teaches us, serve. You want to be great? Serve. Don't only think about your own needs, but also the needs of others, right? When somebody tells you something, and when somebody tells you about the issues that are going on in your life, and you just, how can I quickly get out of this conversation, right? The Bible says serve. How do you serve? You listen. Listen to people. Listen to what their opinions are. Charlie Peacock said this in one of his songs. He said, it's more important to know than to be known. The heart of Jesus is to get to know you, to know others. Right? Jesus himself came to serve. So much so that he said this, the Bible teaches that at the end of Jesus' life, when he's at the Last Supper and that moment, right, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet, the Bible says this, and now Jesus will show them the full extent of his love. How do you show people? How do you show? You serve. Man, we used to do those old-fashioned foot washings. Remember those? Some of y'all remember those? Don't worry about it. We weren't. That's not this morning. You didn't see a pan with water up here, so you're safe this morning. He who exalts himself will be humbled. Serve. And then Matthew chapter 6, moving on to our next thing. Verse 19 to 21 and 24. And verse 24 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where your thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. No one can serve two masters. In verse 24, it says, either you can hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He teaches us, Jesus teaches us this radical understanding that, listen, your heart is connected to your money. Your heart is connected in the and can be connected in the things that you obtain for yourself. And Jesus says, listen, be very careful that you don't store up for yourselves treasures here on the earth. The greed that permeates our culture, and I gotta have this, and I gotta have this. I gotta have all this stuff, right? I gotta, in order for me to be happy, right? Or in order for me to be fulfilled, I gotta have all this stuff. Jesus says, be careful, don't store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, because it'll all go away. So things of this earth are temporary. Are temporary. Jesus calls us to a life that is not for just the here and now. Jesus calls us to a life of there. A life of heaven. And as we do, we push forward the kingdom of God on this earth. And we store up for, what are the treasure in heaven? It's people. It's others. It's God's love and His influence in our culture. Man, if you missed, I can't remember, what's his name? The guy who did the message for the royal wedding yesterday. Phenomenal message from Episcopal? Is he Episcopal? Yes, sir. Episcopal priest. I know, you're like, you watched the wedding? Yeah, I didn't care about their dresses. I don't want to be honest with you. I thought Harry looked cool in his suit and his, you know, his military, whatever that is, his royal garb or whatever that is. But man, I was listening to these guys, and I listened. What is his name? Anybody know? Remember his name? Anyway, but the preacher, the priest. He's actually from America. He's an African American, and he preached like an African American right there at the royal. It was awesome. I was like, Bishop Michael Curry. I think he's from South Carolina. Come on, the Southeast. Representing the world. I love it. But you should have heard him talk about the love of God. And he said this. He said, oh man, God was so good. He said, imagine a world where people loved. Imagine governments where they were controlled by the love of God. Imagine society where people are governed by the love of God. And the love of God rules. And he talked about the fact that you can't have the love of God without knowing the source of that love. It was awesome. Because that's the treasure. He says, I'm going to preach his message. He says, that's the reason we're here, is to display the love of God in our culture. It's powerful. That's why we're here. But we store up all for ourselves, and we pull this, and this is mine, and I gotta have this, and we, you know, I need, I gotta have this, that, and the other. And Jesus says, man, all those things, they'll burn up. I'm just going to preach other people's messages. Francis Chan does this, the message, right, with the long rope, right, the 50-foot rope. And he marks out this much of that rope. He marks it in white and says, this is your life here on the earth. But then he takes the rest of the rope and points out that this is really your life that goes on for eternity. And what you do here affects over there. So we gain and we drive and we do this. And says, listen, it's not worth it. He said, store up for your treasures. And then he tells this guy, he says, look, in Mark chapter 10, he says, Jesus looking at him, he said, what should I do? He said, Jesus looked at him and said, you lack one thing. He said, I've done all the commandments, right? I've done everything that the law asked for me to do. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, he says, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. And that's not a command for all of us, right? It's not a command for you to go sell, Mike, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor and then, you know, work at the church, right? No, that's not the command. It could be a command if God's speaking. he was going at the heart of the issue. Once again, Jesus is dealing with the letter of the law versus what God always has intended. That it's about the people. And your life as a Christian, it can't be relegated to sin management or doing right and doing right and doing right. It's more than that. The kingdom of God is more than that. It's about giving of your life for other people. It's about laying down your life for others. It's pretty radical. Jesus goes right at the thing that was most important to that young man. And the Bible says the man went away sad because he wasn't worth it. C.S. Lewis, I'm going to misquote it a little bit. I don't have it in my notes. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He's talked about, Christianity isn't here just to make you happy. He said, a good bottle of port will do that. He said, if you're searching for just happiness, don't look at Christianity. Because Christianity is self-sacrificial. It's giving your life for something bigger than who you are. It's laying down your life and pick up the life of the kingdom. And it changes the way we look at our jobs, and it changes the way we look at how we interact with other people. I remember this reality is so in me, because I remember working at the dealership, and I knew once people found out that I was a believer, like maybe you shouldn't even let anybody know. Because once people started finding out, I felt the weight of that responsibility. And let me tell you, that's a good weight. Was I perfect? Mike knows, absolutely I was. We never got in arguments at work or anything. We never got mad at each other. But all of a sudden, I felt that weight that people knew. And all of a sudden, I could be the only good representative of what a Christian would look like. The old adage that you may be the only gospel that anybody ever reads. We're an epistle, the Bible says, read of all men. And that changes the way you look at other things. I'm an ambassador of Christ, but I wear it gladly. I wear it gladly because of my devotion to God, my love for God. It's quiet in here this morning. Self-sacrifice. And then to go right along with that, Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when people hate you. Great message this morning, isn't it? It's good stuff. When they exclude you, they revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Jesus, I thought everybody was supposed to like us as Christians. Jesus, I thought if we did, we love people, they would just accept us and it would all be wonderful. Don't expect that, Jesus said. Expect to be reviled. Expect people not to believe you. Expect people to spurn your name as evil How many times has the church in recent years been called hate? Some of it's well-grounded. True. But don't expect everybody just to love you and to be for you and be on your team. If everybody's on your team in our culture, be concerned. I was going to show the video. It's just too long. But I was watching the Alon Alliance. That's the Robert, the guy who was here last week. I was watching Richard. It's AlonAlliance.com if you want to go look at it. And there's a video on there of the persecuted church in Iraq. And you should hear these guys. You should hear them. ISIS comes in. And it's one thing that you hear it on the news. It's another when you watch the video and it's a person, a man, a woman, and their daughter that you see with your eyes, right? It's one thing when we hear... But when we see it with your eyes, when you see that those three, and then you see this one guy that talks about how ISIS rolled in, and they say either you pay an unpayable tax, convert to Islam, leave, or be killed. That's your home. That's where you raised your daughter. That's where you raised your kids. And that's your choices. And don't think they won't do it. So they flee. They leave not only their area, but they leave their country and find refuge in this this priest little area, this priest church in Jordan. And you should hear them. Never will I deny Jesus. As an Iraqi citizen, God will be with me. God will protect me. But I will never deny him. It's like not even an option. Not even fake being a Muslim, right? Not just say it so they'll leave him alone and let him stay. No. He says this. He says, Jesus told us to leave everything and follow him. And he says, I've left everything. I'm following him. I pray to God that would be me. He said, you'll be persecuted. He said, you'll be shamed. And they'll make fun of your moral compass that God's asked you to obtain. They'll make fun of you because they won't include you because they know that you don't want to go out and do whatever they do with them. When all your coworkers go to whatever that club is, and you're I don't really do that. Because what's in you, because what Jesus, and the lady says this. I should have showed the video, it's been quicker. The lady says this, she says, they said, what happened to you? It's a CNN video clip. She says, I was worshiping God, I lifted my hands, and the power of God came on me. She says, I'll never be the same, and I'll never deny him because he touched my life. See, Jesus is not calling us to a life of, and we've relegated it to, man, you become a Christian, and you're blessed, and you're prosperous, and you never have any troubles, and rainbows, and unicorns, and happiness, and, you know. And Jesus said, let me tell you what your, that would change your altar calls, wouldn't it? Come down, all of you who want persecution and difficult life, and they're going to be spurn you, but come on down and accept Jesus. We've got to be careful of the gospel that we preach. There is blessing. God does bless us. He gives us an abundance towards every good work, God says. God doesn't want us to be broke and poor and all that. I agree with all that. But be careful that we don't buy into the gospel that... Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark repeats it in chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. If anyone would come after me, he let them deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, well, we can say that about our culture. Whoever denies me in this type of situation, in this sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with his holy angels. Jesus says, gain the world, forfeit your life. The symbol of taking up your cross was a death sentence. That when you took up that cross, it was, I'm going down. You lose your life. You lose your own fame. You lose your own self-importance. You see, what we do truthfully is we trade our fame for His. We trade our fame for His. Say, God, we want to honor You with our lives. Listen, not just so that what it'll do for me, because His name is worthy. Matt Chandler says that God is desiring to show His own glory. And our job is to follow suit and to show His glory. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. God saved me out of a bunch of trash and a bunch of junk. I'm just grateful. I have more to say, but I feel it. It's dropping on us. I don't want to put condemnation on us all, so I'll leave it alone. I'll leave the rest of it alone. But understand what God's called us to. A life of honoring Him. Not being molded into an image of some preacher, but being molded into the image of Jesus. Worship team, if you come. I didn't tell Jessica this, but I'm going to ask her to help me as she gets her guitar. If you could get your, I need your guitar. You see, the world is not your standard. We talked about the tuning fork. And as I strike the tuning fork, hope this works. Sets the tone for A. See, what we need is the standard of Jesus. Apply it to our own selves and hear the ring of the person of Jesus and tune our lives to Him. In the morning when you wake up, Jesus, I tune my life to You. And the way I treat people, the way I see people, the way I honor people, I choose not to be tuned by the world. I choose to tune my life by You, God. As I apply Him to my life, it's going to look different. It's going to be radical. People are going to call you a radical. That you're going to love people who despitefully use you. You're going to love people who in your face, they do all kind of stuff to you. But you, no. I'm going to love like Jesus. When difficulty's going to happen, I'm going to act like Jesus did. And people are going to call you radical. And people are going to call you different. But let me tell you something. The world needs a little different. The world needs a little bit of people that are radical, that think radically, that love radically, that honor God above anybody else radically. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. Father, we look to You. I want you to just hear the voice of God for you this morning. There's a lot to process in this message. But to take a phrase from yesterday at that wedding. Imagine a world where Christians made their goal to be like Jesus and they loved like Jesus and they processed things through prayer like Jesus. They dealt with adversity like Jesus. They had purpose like Jesus. God, help us to be more like You. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to ask some prayer people to come down and stand over here if you would. So Father, I pray that You wouldn't take this and be full of condemnation. I pray that You would take this and to apply it to your life and say, God, what areas do I need some things changed? God, we honor You. Jesus, this is so radical that You're calling us into. I thank You for Your grace that's going to help me. Thank You, Father, that You lead me in it and You don't just shove me out in it and say good luck. But God, You lead me into these things. But God, we're open. We thank You. Maybe you need to come up and have some prayer. Maybe you just need to come up and just pray up front or just sit where you're at in your seat. But while we do this song, I'm going to dismiss and we're going to do this song and you can stay in here or you can leave or whatever you need to do. But God, I pray You do a work in us. We'll leave this place as a place of prayer and worship. So God, we thank You. I pray that as we go, we'll be just like Jesus. That Jesus will honor You in everything that we do. Jesus will look to You as our example. And we thank You, God, that as we do, that you go with us, that we're not alone. We honor you this day. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you want to be dismissed, you can be dismissed.